Mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, the one that I just read from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Well, it was September 9th, 1982. He arrived on campus. I saw Marine One flying overhead, and it was a big day that day. All the classes at the university were canceled. The President of the United States was coming in to make a speech. It was President Ronald Reagan. Now, the security was tight. Secret Service was everywhere on campus. And at the arena where he was giving his speech, well, they had metal detectors at all the doors there. So everybody who was going in, every student had to have a ticket. You had to have a special seat where you're going to be sitting. Everybody was being searched. Things were incredibly tight. Now, a friend of mine who had a brother who was on the Manhattan, Kansas police force was telling him a little bit extra about what was going on. In fact, the Secret Service had notified them that the president was coming and contacted them months and months before. So he had the Kansas Highway Patrol that was there involved. He had the KBI, the FBI, and every other kind of organization across the state was involved in making sure that everything was safe there. In fact, he was telling his cousin was telling his friend, that it was even so secure there that anybody who had ever written a nasty letter to the president, they were being watched. Any foreign student who was on campus, all of them, they were all being watched. Because you have to remember here, this is just a little over a year after the assassination attempt on President Reagan. So yes, security was ridiculously high for the town known as the Little Apple. Now, security measures were not in place when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem that day. People heard about Jesus. He was that great miracle worker. He was the one there who had raised Lazarus from the dead just a couple days before. Not many people do that. Jesus knew that. People did too. They knew that there was something different about Jesus. But here he stops outside of town of Jerusalem there, and the same town, Bethany, where Lazarus lives again. Jesus stops because he needs a ride going to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus tells his disciples that, hey, he wants a nice ride. He wants four on the floor there. He wants comfy seats. He wants it to be something special so that everybody's going to know when he comes into town. So Jesus specifically said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. Now think about what Jesus has just asked them. Go get me a ride. Now the ride's going to be a colt, one on which no one has ever sat. Think about this. This is a young animal. It's not broken in. It's never been domesticated. And here he's going to be the very first person to ever have ridden this thing. What's the likelihood of this one being cooperative? Not very likely. Everybody knows it. The disciples know it. But hey, Jesus is asking, so that's what you go. This is what I want, and that's what you're going to find. Now, on top of that, though, they're also to go in there, and they're instructed to go in. If once you find it, untie it, bring it to me. But if anybody asks, he's like, hey, you know, what are you doing untying that thing? It's like, well, just tell them that the Lord has need of it, and we'll return it back immediately afterwards. All right, great. Here he is, you know, telling these guys to almost go in there and steal it. Seemingly looks like it, but, you know, no, it's not the case. So what do? They go in the town there. I mean, no sooner than they get in the town, they find, there's the colt. So they walk over there to go and untie it. People are like, hey, what are you doing? And it's like, oh, tells them what Jesus said. Oh, hey, the Lord has need of it. We'll send it back immediately. Like, oh, okay, that's cool, go. Really? What's the point Jesus is making here? Well, he's pointing out very clearly his divine nature. He knows everything. He knows how people are going to respond. He tells them what the right answer to give to them, that they're going to accept it. It's not going to be any big deal. And so they get the colt, they bring it back, and what do? They put their cloaks on it, and Jesus sat on it. The very first time this animal has ever had anybody sit on it, and Jesus does, and it cooperates. Go figure. It's the Lord of creation, too, who's there. Makes sense, then. But now as you think about all of this here, Jesus getting this nice, fine ride here. He's going to go into town there. Contrast this, though, with something else that were to happen. Consider the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth. She had her coronation back in 1952. She's been the longest reigning monarch there in England. Now, when she dies and a new king is going to be crowned, think about that event. What's going to happen there? Think of the media circus that's going to go around that. I mean, think about how when somebody gets married over there, they have a baby or whatever, all the news that goes on around that. And if you have a new king, well, you're going to have dignitaries from all over the world that are going to be there. You're going to have news, news like you wouldn't believe. It's going to be on every form. Every kind of media is going to be there. Billions of people will be able to watch it. Contrast that with Jesus coming in Jerusalem. Well, that was probably at best a local news story. Was there fanfare? Sure there was. Many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Yes, Jesus was being treated as a king. Now, the same text is also used on Palm Sunday there about the king coming into Jerusalem. Now, notice what kind of ride he has. He's riding a colt. Normally, if you're going to have a king come riding in there, he's going to be on a mule or a war horse. You're thinking a mule. Well, that was King David's choice. That was his preferred ride to go into battle, was on a mule. But here he is coming in on a colt. Now, in Old Testament times there, in Scripture there, if somebody, a king, were riding in on a colt, that meant something, and it meant something big. It was a king of peace coming in, not a king who has used force to come into town. So things were quite different. Definitely different. So the people there, in their eyes there, well, they're seeing Jesus here as one who's going to restore things, to bring back the kingdom to the glory days, the days in which King David had reigned, those kinds of mighty days. How about you? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Want him to restore America, to make America great again? What do you want him to do for you? Maybe you want him to give you a big fat bank account, or maybe a promotion, or maybe an amazing family. What do you want? Well, just last Sunday we saw Jesus, okay? King of kings and Lord of lords, the mighty and the almighty King of the universe. What was he doing? There was a great separation that was going on, right? Separating the peoples there from before him. They had the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. That separation was happening there because there were those who were going to heaven and those who were going to hell. But there's a difference this time, okay? A difference between last Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, versus the first Sunday in Advent. Okay, we're still anticipating his coming back, but it's different this time. You see, him coming into Jerusalem this time is a precursor for his second arrival. At this moment, his work is not yet complete. You see, he is the one who could still the waters. He is the one who made the blind see. He's the one who cleansed the lepers. He's the one who brought Lazarus back from the dead. Yes, indeed, all of these were pointing, and the people were recognizing this, that indeed he is the one that Moses spoke about, how there would be a prophet who would come after me. Then indeed he was the Messiah. The people were seeing that. He's a king. And so they had those expectations of a king, an earthly king that they were hoping for. But this work was not yet done. Not yet done before there is a heavenly king. You see, that work that was to come just in a few days right after his arrival here on this colt, the work was going to happen at the cross. And that is where Jesus was going to be crowned king. Not crowned with a golden crown, but rather with a crown of thorns. He didn't have a royal scepter in his hand, rather he had a spear in his side. You see, Jesus was there to get the work done, to earn forgiveness of sins. All of our sins were given to Jesus there. And that's where you have real and true restoration. Restoration that lasts, that lasts forever. You see, it was his death on the cross is what God intended for you and I, for him to die in our place. Your sins were taken from you and left at the cross. Jesus took all those unloving and ungodly acts upon himself to restore you, But just like back in the day, well, we are tend to get focused on earthly things, that in times like that, we lose sight of the heavenly things. And that's why this first Sunday in Advent is a good reminder for us. It focuses our attention on the King born and laid in a manger, the King who hung on the cross, the King who rose from the grave alive, the King who ascended into heaven, and the King who will come back yet again with much fanfare and the trumpet call of God and all of his secret servants, not agents, but secret service angels with him. Yes, indeed, he will come back. And everyone will see him. And not just on some media event, not on your cell phone. Everyone will see him face to face because he is our King. And why does he come back? To bring you. You, with an everlasting love that he has for you. He's going to bring you back to his kingdom, a kingdom which is in heaven that lasts forever. It's not what you'd expect, but it is what you get. And that's a very good thing. And it all happens because Jesus Christ is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Now may the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us